The first scripture reading from Mark is another version of the gospel lesson from last week. Unlike last week's lesson from Luke, Mark doesn't follow up with the story of the Good Samaritan. And he splits Jesus' words into two separate directives. One, love your God with all your heart, your soul, mind, and strength. Secondly, to love others as much as you love yourself. Shortly after Jesus issues this commandment and the story of the Good Samaritan, he's traveling to a new village and is the guest of Martha and Mary. In this story, we find him chastising Martha for her busyness while praising Mary's choice to listen to Jesus. And in my mind, both readings come around to a similar point. I grew up hearing, love your neighbor as yourself. I think that's one of the first things they teach you in Sunday school. But when I heard this version from Mark as part of a children's time about 3 years ago, for some reason it struck me totally from a totally different perspective. I literally had an aha moment. It says, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. I realized that for most of my life, if I had loved my neighbor the way I loved myself, my neighbor was going to get the short end of the stick. I mean, how many times during your life have you felt like you didn't love yourself or liked yourself? I bet a lot of us have felt that way. It often starts when we're little kids and continues as we grow. We judge ourselves. We compare ourselves to others. We have unrealistic expectations for who we should be. We think we aren't attractive enough. We aren't funny enough. Our clothes aren't the right ones. We dance funny. We aren't good enough parents. We aren't making enough money. We aren't doing enough to change the world. We have too much debt. We don't work out enough. We don't work hard enough. And we are not home enough. No matter what we do, it is never enough. And many of us feel that we can't allow ourselves to love ourselves until we change those shortcomings. But the expectation of the scripture is that God expects that we love ourselves. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. God expects that of us. And why shouldn't we love ourselves? God made us, and he loves us. Starting with the first chapter of Genesis, when God creates human in his image, and he says, it is good. Throughout the Bible, we are told we're precious to God and that he rejoices over us just the way we are. And it all feeds into the fact that God gives us the gift of grace. Author Frederick Buechner, a writer and theologian, in his book, Wishful Thinking, put it this way. The grace of God means something like this. Here is your life. You might never have been, but you are, because the party would not have been complete without you. Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen, but don't be afraid. I am with you. Nothing can ever separate us. It's you. For you, I created the universe. I love you. There is only one catch. Like any other gift, the gift of grace can be yours only if you reach out and take it. Maybe being able to reach out and take it is part of the gift too. On the website explorefaith.org, there is a comment from a woman who's identified only as Margie. And she writes, grace is the unconditional love of God for us, exactly as we are, apart from our own efforts. This is the accepted definition of grace, with the ending phrase reassuring us that we have no worries about our present state of sinfulness. So that's the deal. Part of accepting God's grace is also accepting ourselves as we are and realizing that we're worthy of his love. There is no place in the Bible where it says, I have to be a certain weight or make a particular salary before God's going to love me. Your floor doesn't have to be clean, so clean you can eat off of it, for you to be a lovable person. We simply have to accept ourselves as we are and love ourselves as we are. Just like Punchinello, we have to listen less to others, less to ourselves, and more to God. And that leads us to the story of Martha and Mary. They welcome Jesus into their home. And Martha is the hostess, and she is bound and determined to make his visit the best it can be. I mean, what she's doing sounds like Thanksgiving at my house. She's cooking, she's cleaning, she's seeing to his every need of her guest, and he is because he is an honored guest. Mary, however, sits right down and visits and listens to every word. She soaks in the presence of Jesus and absorbs his teachings. When Martha complains, Jesus tells her she's got it wrong. Mary has it right. He is telling her that taking time to listen and learn is important and must be given a priority. And many of us are like Martha. We're New Englanders. We're not known for our ability to sit still. We stay busy. We need to get everything done. But when we do this, we're often taking care of ourselves, nurturing ourselves, learning about God at the very end of our to-do list. We go, 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 and give, give, give until there's nothing left. We're exhausted, and we wonder why we feel empty and unfulfilled. We have nothing left to give our neighbors. We don't have the energy to help those in need, and we are too busy to even see what others need. And more importantly, we often miss God when he reaches out to us in quiet moments. The bottom line is we need to nurture ourselves and care for ourselves the way we would care for our own children. We make sure our own children eat healthy meals, that they have warm clothes. We send them out to play. In hot weather like this, we make sure they drink extra water. We teach them the alphabet. We help them with their homework. We listen to them, and we hug them when they need it. We need to nurture ourselves in the same way, taking care of our physical, our spiritual, and our mental health. And Jesus is telling Martha that. Put down your work and take time to listen and learn. One of the greatest gifts I received from my husband, Scott, was his insistence that I just sit down and be on Sunday afternoons. He'd put the chairs out underneath the trees in the front yard, and he'd say, "Princess, put the garden tools away. Come and sit down. You don't have to work every minute of every day." And it was during those times when we would relax and talk about what we were grateful for, ponder what we wanted from life, and enjoy the moment. And now I have to really work at it, but I still try to take the time to sit by myself. And that's when I find myself praying. Those moments when I stop and listen to the sounds of nature or relax while listening to music, those are the times when I find myself most open to God's voice. A few years ago, I took a class that included, it was made up of single adults in their later years. You had to be at least 50 to be in the class. And the discussion turned around to how difficult it was to prepare healthy meals when you lived by yourself. We discussed how the time to make the meal for just one person was way too great in comparison to the time it actually took to eat it. A plate of crackers and cheese was so much better than a healthy meal that included vegetables. When we're tired, it can be hard to justify that time in our minds. So there was one woman in the class who spoke up, and she said she made herself a healthy meal every night. And what helped her get to that point was she finally says to herself, "I am making this meal for someone I love. This person deserves the best meal I can provide them. They need this meal to remain healthy and happy." And she said that she repeated that every night when she started to cook. And it was probably some of the most inspirational advice I had ever heard. We also need to nourish our heart and mind by finding times to continue exploring our faith. We stop Sunday school often by the time we're in high school, but our faith never stops growing. It never stops changing, and our lives change. We need to keep feeding our spirit. Like Mary, we need to give ourselves permission to sit and learn by ourselves, in a study group, in adult Sunday school, or simply by attending church regularly. The quote for reflection in the bulletin from Parker Palmer sums it up pretty well. "Self-care is never a selfish act. It is simply good stewardship of the only gift I have, the gift I was put on earth to offer to others. If we don't care for ourselves, we will not be able to use our gifts to our full potential to serve God." When we love ourselves, you also are accepting that responsibility to use those gifts that God gave us. those gifts, you're more ready to embrace those gifts and share them with others. They are the tools with which God, with which we do God's work. So it comes around. If you love yourself, you'll be better able to love your neighbor. Going back to Margie, she finished up her comments on the website by writing, "Still, my soul tells me there is a caveat. We must accept this grace in a special way known to God and us as partners. This acceptance must include asking God, how can I thank you? For above all, we must return his love and then listen and wait. And his response will be, love your neighbor."